A few weeks ago, you'll have heard on this podcast feed an explanation about the potential impacts of climate change in Ireland. Since then, I've travelled to a country which is experiencing the so far worst effects of global warming. I'm Ben Finnegan, and let me explain what it's doing to the people of Malawi.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Malawi is a country in southeastern Africa, with the population estimated to be around 20 million, 21 million, give or take. Despite having some of the lowest emissions per person than anywhere else in the world, they're feeling the effects of climate change. Cyclones are their major problem. They've devastated communities, particularly in the southern region of the country over the last number of years. There's been four major ones since 2019: Idai, Anna, Gombe, and last year, Cyclone Freddy. In total, there's been $2 billion US dollars worth of damage estimated. And the Malawian government have only been able to commit just 1% of that towards repair and reconstruction costs. And these people aren't the cause of climate change. They're so far experiencing the most devastating effects. In Cyclone Freddy, it's estimated around 100,000 homes were damaged, mainly washed away in flash floods, while 1,200 people were killed, 500 missing, presumed dead. This is Milane Ichiwa, who works with a partner of Trokra in Malawi called CARD. I spoke to him about the impact of Cyclone Freddy, and in particular, what his memories were of it.
We thought it was the end of the world because some of us could just see it from afar, but those who were there, I know of a family which has been wiped away completely. They are dead, the whole family. They are dead and they don't even know where they are because they were not recovered. Their bodies were not recovered. So they didn't even get that decent burial.
The impact of the flash floods as a result of Freddy washed away crops, increasing food insecurity, as well as washing away homes and people never to be recovered again. And the country also experienced a blackout as the country's central electricity company shut down hydroelectric plants, the main source of power, to try and avoid further damage to those plants. Now, in the communities I visited throughout my 4 days there with Trokra, there were no tractors, no farm machinery. Everything is done by hand. There's something called a loss and damage fund, which is an attempt at a recognition that the poorest of countries aren't the cause for climate change. It's people like us in the so-called West who bear the responsibility for global warming, but it's people in places like Malawi who are now bearing the brunt of the effects so far. And there have been multiple negotiations at the annual Conference of Parties, or to give it its more commonly used acronym, COP. But there's still very little committed to the fund in terms of money compared to what the estimated needs are. It's believed you'd need around 400 billion US dollars. Billion with a B. Right now, all that's been committed is 700 million US dollars. That's million with an M. Peter Kamunje is a government representative at the Malawian Department of Disaster Management Affairs. He outlines the importance of the Loss and Damage Fund to countries and societies like Malawi.
The position of the country has been to advocate for the Loss and Damage Fund because we believe that on our own, it's not our own making that we are suffering this kind of tragedies now and again. And we believe we are on the receiving end. And therefore, we are propagating that those that are really contributing to this kind of the huge and this climate change must also be equally contribute quite substantial. And that has been the key on the COP27. I think we're also part of the 26 and the recent one. So even the team that went to Dubai this year, that was the message that we gave them. Please, would you advocate for resources to deal with and the restoration of the impacts. With the way the impacts are coming, there is no way the government would recover in this way. And as I've just given the statistics, it's almost nothing. So we really quite depend on the on international community.
Now, Ireland will experience more adverse and extreme weather conditions in the future. The idea behind the Loss and Damage Fund is we can afford to recover and even prepare for such events like flash floods or extreme heat. Remember that small amount of money that had been committed by the Malawian government to the repairs and reconstruction from the cyclones? Yeah. When they can't even afford to rebuild from Cyclones and other adverse weather conditions, they certainly can't afford to prepare for them in the future. To give you an example about emissions, the EPA estimates the average emissions per person in Ireland in 2022 was 11.9 tonnes of CO2. The equivalent statistic for Malawians is 0.1 tonnes per person. And to break that down, every Malawian is responsible for 0.8% of the emissions that every Irish person is on average. That's a huge difference in emissions. And yes, Ireland isn't the worst emitters in the world, but in terms of Europe, per capita, we're one of the biggest emitters. I asked Philip Nisulo, who works with Trokra in Malawi, whether there's a sense of frustration among the people there, because, as I keep saying, despite not having the emissions, they're still dealing with the worst effects of climate change.
It's really, I would say, frustrating, especially when you know, like, what's the origin and who is contributing the most. I'm not saying that here in Malawi we're not contributing to climate change. We are. But if you look at the percentage, like here, it's like maybe less than 2% or even less than 1%. Okay? But then you look at all the work that we are doing. It's really interesting that those countries that contribute the most, sometimes they don't even understand, they don't even believe in climate change. Some think that, well, this was supposed to be like that. But honestly, maybe sometimes we are trying to hide. We don't want to face the reality, which is bad. I believe that it's high time now that those countries that contribute the most to climate change should also like act more. But now, okay, I'm happy that you are here in Malawi now. I believe that you could be like our ambassador when you go back to when you visit other developed countries, because you have seen how hardworking Malawians are. Like, these are like the remote areas, okay, who maybe have contributed nothing, but look at the work that they are doing. Because we believe that we are all in this together, and therefore we should join hands.
Trokra is in Malawi working with the poorest people to try and give them a chance. The charity's Lenten campaign this year is focusing on Malawi. They're asking for donations to help continue their work. And what surprised me is how Trokra operate in countries like this. I always assumed that when charities would go over to countries in far-flung parts of the world where there is very little money and there's a lot of poverty, I just thought they would drop money, food and resources in the communities to ensure they're okay. That's not the case. They really operate with the kind of mentality of give a man a fish, they eat for a day mentality. Teach him how to fish, he'll eat for life. In the communities we visited, it's about education. There's a big emphasis on education. Along with their partners on the ground, they teach these people about what causes climate change, what are the effects of it, and most importantly, how they can build back when a devastating storm may come. Simple practices like stone breaks on paths, which can slow rainwater coming down the side of a mountain. It won't stop the water or prevent any damage, but slows it down to limit the potential for a flash flood washing away homes or livelihoods. A simple mitigation that can be easily implemented and cheap. They also highlight the importance of forestry and trees. Now, at a community called Misiyama in the Machinga district, there's the Lenten community, the people who feature on this year's Trokra Box. We noticed in the background of this community two mountains, less than 2 kilometres away from the community. They were side by side. One was green and lush with trees, the other was pretty much barren. This is Father Patrick Kamba, who works as a social director in the diocese. He explains the very simple reason why one is forested and the other isn't.
That's the area where, you know, the soldiers here in Malawi, they do some kind of training. So they take the responsibility. Now, because that area is more or less like it's a feared area, people don't go there. Why? Because they're afraid. And that is the reason why you see it's a bit dark. Why? Because the trees are growing that side as compared to this other area, which is being managed and controlled by people from within these villages.
And when the rains come, and they do for months at a time in Malawi, the water flows down the side of the mountain, headed straight for communities like Misiyama. Whereas with the forested mountain, the trees would stop the flow and use the water. Now, these people are cutting the trees down for good reason, chopping them down to have fuel to cook or even build homes. They need the trees, but the work of Trokra and its partners explains that while they can use the trees to help combat the effects of climate change, they need to re-sow trees to ensure they have natural protections from the elements. While living in the shadow of that mountain is a woman called Melita. Along with her two children, she features on this year's Trokra Box. She's very aware about the impacts of climate change and, more importantly, aware that it's not her fault that it's happening. It's down to the carbon emissions mainly from the West. I asked her how she felt about that and what she thinks people in the West and Ireland should do. She spoke through a translator called Annie.
She's in deep pain and she's really worried due to reduced amount of rains and even the dry spells that they're facing. And she's asking if the farmers in Ireland have ever experienced that. So she's asking the farmers if they could manage and cope with the kind of situations, the weather, the climate change that she's facing, if they could cope as well that she is here in Malawi. Yeah. If they could withstand the kind of weather patterns that she meets in her community in here, would they withstand the same weather patterns?
Thank you.
A recent report from the World Meteorological Organization highlighted that global temperatures in 2023 were 1.45 degrees above the pre-industrial era, ticking ever closer to that 1.5 degrees limit agreed in the Paris Accord. Any increase above 1.5 degrees will cause even more adverse and severe effects of climate change for people like Melita and those in Malawi. And while organizations like Trokra in Malawi are educating them about the potential impacts and how they can try and mitigate them, the reality is a warming planet will make life harder and harder for the poorest people in the world and could result in them having to leave their homes forever because life there may get simply too difficult. That's it for this week's Let Me Explain. I've been Ben Finnegan. Please subscribe to get future episodes. And thanks to the editor for this episode, John Kyo, as well as Lachlan Hart on sound.